Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 9, season 1 of The Standoff, your rugby league show. And as always, on a Wednesday evening, I am here with Brad Inger. Good evening, Brad.
I'm stuck, Paul. There we go. Good evening, Sanjay, and good evening to our listeners. There are a few surprise performances by some of the bottom dwellers this week, and I can't wait to talk about it.
Yes, we did have some interesting performances, and we'll get into those a little bit later on. Like I said, we're here every Wednesday on Facebook at 8 p.m. sharp throughout the season, so please tune in and get your rugby league fix. We'll cover off top stories of the week, the previous round that was, which in this case was round 10. We'll have a preview of round 11, and we'll also cover off international news with games, with rugby league news from the Super League and in the women's game. And this week we've got a special edition. We'll also update you on the Rugby League World Cup in England in 2021.
Yeah, so tune in to get your rugby league news, and it's time for the top stories of the week. So I think the biggest story of the week, Sanjay, was the signing of David Fifita to the Titans. $3.5 million for 3 years. What do you think?
Yeah, so this has definitely been, without a doubt, the biggest story of the week. I think it's a fantastic signing, to be honest. I'm really excited for the Titans. We'll get into the sad part of it, I guess, for the Brisbane Broncos in a little bit. But yeah, massive, massive signing for the Titans. The biggest signing in the club's history, without a doubt, you'd have to say. And it's also come at a time when you actually, when I actually see the club going places. I think a fantastic signing, marquee player. He's got some troops there that can sort of, that can sort of play around him. And yeah, just really looking forward to what kind of an impact he can have. What are your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, I think it's a great signing for the club. They've got a hell of a forward pack for next year now, with a couple more signings that they got. They got Big Tino from the Storm, who's been playing really well for the Storm this year. So you've got those two. Fotuweka's already there. Kevin Proctor.
Yes, of course.
They got a decent pack. They just need, to work on their spine a bit, maybe get a nice hooker. I'm not sure what's happening with the halves. I like Fogarty, who's there. Ashley Taylor is a bit hit and miss for me, but with a big pack like this, you don't know how good he's going to be. So interesting times to be a Gold Coast fan.
Oh, absolutely. I think very exciting times to be a Gold Coast fan. I think you nailed it on the head there with the spine needing to now follow suit. I think that the forward pack is quite good, like you said, with the likes of Fifita, Proctor there. They're going to be very mobile in the coming years. And he's on a three-year, $3.5 million deal. So he's indicated that he wants to make this the club to take them to, you know, a premiership, you know, and that's the main reason why he's signed with them. He's got a lot of aspirations as a player. And unfortunately, he did feel, and it's come out in the media this week, that he didn't believe whether his aspirations or his career was getting recognized or I don't know what the word is, but he felt that he didn't have faith in the Brisbane setup to help him improve his career. And that is one of the main reasons why he's leaving the Brisbane Broncos. So that's a big call in terms of, the disappointment that's surrounding the Brisbane Broncos at the moment. But in terms of for David Fifita, going to the Gold Coast, going there to win a championship, really, they haven't won one in all of their tenureship. They've been in and out of the NRL slash ARL/Winfield Cup, I guess you could say, the Australian Rugby League setup since their introduction back in the late 80s. So, hey, look, yeah, the biggest time in the club's history, without a doubt.
Definitely, definitely. And I suppose the next big news was the option, the NRL is looking at options around the bunker, potentially scrapping it for another idea. They're not sure of anything yet. They said that the commission would have to make that decision. But they're paying about $2.5 million for the bunker, and the bunker, as we've seen all year and as we've been complaining about, it's not working. So they need to do something. I know they've been talking about using skeletal tracking, which is a digital program to help with forward passes. And could be interesting times, but human error is still there. So they need to work on something to help reduce that.
Yeah, I think the bunker, I mean, I really don't know what to say about the bunker. I mean, that's exactly the point. I really don't know what to say about it. I think, you know, at times they're getting it wrong, and at other times they're inconsistent in their approach. I think that definitely, like, if you've had a look at the other sports that have used technology, like if we take a look at even cricket, okay, for example, there's a number of different technologies used there to catch the nick. There's a number of different technologies used to get a man LBW in terms of, you know, ball tracking and so forth. Even in tennis, we've seen ball tracking used, and we haven't really seen any geometric type of technology used in rugby league. I don't understand, for whatever reason, we haven't had a skeletal line from when the ball leaves the hand to where the ball is caught. I don't know why there's not a parallel line with the 20-meter, 10-meter, half, you know what I mean? Like, why can't there be an imaginary line drawn in and then the decision is made from there? Yes, I get it that a game in momentum such as rugby, or such as rugby league, or even rugby union for that matter, where we do see a hell of a lot more forward passes go by the by. I think that we do understand that the momentum of the ball, you know, whilst the ball has been left in the hands and it could go a couple of centimetres forward, is that going back? And I guess that's the argument, isn't it? Like, we have sort of been into thinking or into believing over the past 10, 15 years particularly, that the momentum of the ball is still going backwards, however it's gone a few centimetres forward. I've never really gotten that, to be honest. So if they do bring in a skeletal type of tracking, it will be pretty much it's behind or it's forward. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's will be what happens. And I think, yeah, that it might need to be that cutthroat. I think black and white, it's forward, it's not forward.
Line ball is still back, isn't it? So, I mean, hey, chuck those risky. I mean, the dummy halves these days, they're throwing a lot of line balls, aren't they? I mean, really. You know, they're jumping out of dummy half. Those balls that are going to their first runners, generally the front row or even the second row on the edges of the ruck, yeah, they are they're very much line balls. So I think a skeletal tracking would be ideal. If you're wasting $2.5 million on the idiots in the bunker, I think that this money is well spent on doing some sort of skeletal tracking.
Yeah, definitely. And the next bit of news was around Peter Vallandi. He's actually looking at changing rules that the NRL have to allow 17-year-old Joseph Suiali, I think is how you pronounce his last name, to make his debut next year for the Rabbitohs. Normally you have to be 18, but rugby union are throwing big money offers at him to lure him away from the sport. So Vallandi is looking at changing it just to keep him in the game. It's been a bit mixed with fans and media about, is it too young? Is it okay? What are your thoughts?
I don't think it's too young. I mean, hey, look, we've had, you know, if you look at sports people of yesteryear, mate, I mean, we've had people debuting for the nations at 16. We just had a young Pakistani fast bowler play his first three test matches in Australia early November, late December. And I think he was 16 years old. I mean, and he's bowling 145 clicks. You can't tell me he's not ready. So, yeah. I think that, I'd allow them to play at 17, adjust the rules. If we've got a rugby league's got to hold on to these players, because the lures of rugby union, particularly abroad, are threefold. You know, there's a lot more money in the game in Europe. There's a lot more money in the game even in England. In England and in France, the two big European nations, and of course, Japan. So there's a lot of attraction for younger players to quickly get out of here if they don't think that they're going to make it at a Super Rugby or All Black level. And of course, the money that they get offered is substantial. So, yeah, what do you think about the whole situation? Are you wanting to see rugby league give these younger guys an opportunity?
I think it needs to be a case by case basis. The kids, he's a big 17-year-old. He's not a 50-kilo 17-year-old running around with boys. He's a big unit. Guys like Sonny Bill and all that started the same age. So I think, yeah, it can't hurt, and you've got to keep him in the game. You don't want to lose a talent like that just due to his age.
Yeah, I think he's a great rugby league player. It doesn't necessarily mean that he will be a fantastic rugby union player. So if we can hold on to him in the sport, then I think that Valende is going down the right track in terms of trying to keep him. And in speaking of players that sort of entered at a very young age, such as those that you've just discussed, obviously Sonny Bill Williams is tipped to be a Rooster, I'd say within the next, or I think, has it been announced? I definitely know he's on the way to Sydney, and he's going to be quarantining for 2 weeks. So I think once he gets there, he'll be definitely signing on the dotted line to be part of the Tricolours, as I did suggest last week.
Yeah, it hasn't been officially confirmed, but it may as well be. Everyone, even in the Roosters, are saying, yeah, he's coming. They just haven't signed on the dotted line. But yeah, he's going there. I know there's been a bit of criticism on Valandi changing around the rules to make sure it happens, but I saw an article today that the Warriors are still interested in Ricky Lataley, who's also with the Wolfpack, and said that they hope that Valandi bends the rules for him like they did for Sonny, so he can get to the Warriors ASAP. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I think there's still aspirations for Sonny after he's finished his footy career to be working for the Roosters. So I think it was inevitable that if he did go back, that was where he was going. So it's not really a surprise.
Oh, look, I wasn't under any illusion that he'd be going anywhere else. If he was going to come and play in the NRL, it was definitely going to come and play for the Roosters. He wasn't going to ever come play for the Warriors or any other franchise for that matter. So, hey, look, best of luck to him if he is able to don the tricolours and, be part of their setup here. He will definitely be a huge influence, no doubt, being a premiership winner, being the colossus that he is, the personality that he brings to the team. He's a big signing, and he definitely will make a difference in one way or another, whether it's on the pitch or whether it's in terms of getting that cohesion going for the forward pack. He will play a phenomenal role, no doubt, and I wouldn't be surprised even if he plays a couple of games to see a couple of man of the match performances, because he's just that kind of player. And we wish him all the best, and we'll keep you updated here, folks, on New Zealand Sport Radio in regards to what happens. Thanks for tuning in. And I think it's time now that we crack into round 12.
Before we do that, sorry. I've got some breaking news.
Breaking news. Excellent.
Yeah, it's Warriors related. Alessi Katoa and Celestino Ravatamada have been advised that they're not able to come back to New Zealand as they're not New Zealand citizens with the whole COVID thing.
Oh, wow.
The Warriors, Cameron George and co, are looking into what they can do. But basically, it sounds like if the border regulations are still as strict as they are now at the end of the season, when the Warriors come home, those two will be stuck in Australia if Australia will keep them. So, yeah, it's still just broke like a few minutes ago. So there's still some more news to come out on it. But, yeah, just thought I'd better mention it before we move on.
No, excellent. Well, that's I don't know whether you call that good news or bad news, but I mean, it's I guess two more players that the Warriors get to keep over there, and we'll follow that and keep, ladies and gentlemen, updated on that as well. So, like I said, we'll crack into round 11, and on Thursday night we had a very physical encounter between Eels and the Tigers. The Eels running out winners in the end, 26-16. Brad, how did you see this one play out?
Yeah, I actually enjoyed it. There was no love lost there. Ryan Madison was the talk of the week due to his exit from the Tigers to go to the Eels, and he didn't last long. He lasted about 15 minutes before Russell Packer concussed him. So yeah, very physical. There was a scary moment in the game where Michael Cheekham had convulsions after a head knock. He put his head in the wrong place on a tackle, took a hit to the head, and was very scary. Thankfully, he's okay. He got the all clear at the hospital later on, but yeah, something you don't want to see, especially it was an accident. There was nothing malicious involved, of course, but yeah, very physical game, and had one of the best tries that will never be, with Blake Ferguson showing some great
skills.
Amazing. Yeah, unfortunate it wasn't given as a try, but
no, it was awesome. Yeah, it was good to see those skills. I mean, obviously the wingers these days, they've got so many different ways of sort of charging at that corner post, whether it be in the air, underneath them, on the ground. You know, they know that they can work within that corner post now and use it sort of as a guide. So like jumping in the air and all these acrobats, certainly, you know, I'm glad they're not out there, and I'm glad we're not out there and they are, because yeah, I'd probably do my back in if I was going to jump around like that on the wing. So no, it's very exciting to see. But yeah, a terrific performance. Regan Campbell-Gillard, outstanding, running 238 meters, 23 runs, and scored a great 50-meter solo try as well. Obviously, after having you know, a pretty average season last year, I think at the Panthers, he's come along in leaps and bounds. And I think you know, he was definitely one of the men of the match for me, if not the man of the match on the weekend. He was absolutely solid. And you know, the Parramatta forwards really laid the platform for the superstar backs. And obviously, Moses' inclusion has sparked a Parramatta win. So a great win for them, and a frustrating time for the Tigers. Another loss. They would be, yeah, fairly disappointed, but I guess they just came up across a better side on the night.
They did, and they had a lot of injuries. At one point, they had a one-man bench, which doesn't help them, but Maguire, he doesn't make excuses. He was very critical of the performance and said that that's not the level his team needs to be at if they want to be contenders this year. So he is expecting a big bounce back this week, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, I think
for Warriors fans.
Yes, well, obviously they take on the Warriors, I think, on Friday night, and we'll cover that off a little bit later on in our previews and picks. But yeah, I think yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Tigers, because they have had an up and down, topsy turvy kind of a season, and they don't want to end up, I think, in ninth spot, is where they sort of ended up, I think, last year. And I think that they're sort of in that same sort of area on the table this season currently. So we'll have a look at them a little bit later on. We'll go on to Friday night's fixtures now. And on Friday night, the first game we had was the Cowboys up against Sea Eagles. Sea Eagles too strong for the Cowboys, who are going through a lot of issues at the moment, unfortunately. Stand-in coach, obviously, after Paul Green's demise last week. So, yeah, Sea Eagles 24, Cowboys 12.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys showed plenty of fight, especially their first gig under Josh Hanna as the coach. But I think their biggest issue, and it's been their issue all year, is their lack of execution. They struggle. They're very good at breaking the line, getting up the field, but when they get to that red zone, they just seem to lose a bit of idea of what they're actually doing. And that's not something you can fix overnight, but it's something I'm sure they're working on, just, I suppose, a few tweaks to the game plan to try to make them competitive on the attacking aspect. Defensively, they seem to hold up against some very good sides. So, yeah, it's a bit.
Yeah, Adam Fiddle-Blake, a welcome return for the Sea Eagles, obviously. And, of course, they will have a few other stars coming back over the next few weeks. But Marty Tapau and Fiddle-Blake, the injection from them two was threefold in the victory, I feel. They had a hell of a game and a very, very strong up front performance. Kay Custer, man of the match at six. Back to the bench when Walker returns. I don't know if that's, you know, what they're going to do, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be hard to bench him, but you want Walker out there when he's healthy as well. So it'll be interesting to see what they do.
Indeed.
And that takes us to our second game on Friday night, which was the Storm defeating the Broncos 46-8. So the pain for Brisbane continues.
Stayed in the hunt, I mean, for the first half, but after that, you know, they were never going to win that game, really. They sort of got, you know, beaten to pieces in that second half. And unfortunately, you know, their terrible season, perhaps the worst on record, I would go so far as to say, continues.
Yeah, the Storm, I think the Storm's first half was uncharacteristically bad. They were making errors that they normally don't. And I'm sure at halftime, Bellamy gave them an earful and they responded in kind. And I think the Broncos, they're broken. And they've got, you can clearly see they've got no confidence in themselves. And so even when you're only down 14-8 at the break, you should have a little bit of confidence. They're going, no, we're still in this game, but they just got blown off the park. And it doesn't help when you've got Cameron Smith playing like a 20-year-old, putting on a clinic. And he actually reached to 2,700 career points in that match. So talks on that he still might be going around. There's even rumours that the Broncos want to try to poach him. So I think we're definitely going to see Cameron Smith running around next year.
Oh, yeah, I think we will see him running around. He'd be stupid to go to the Broncos, though, I think. He wouldn't. I know that's where he sort of comes from, and he wants to go back there, I believe. But I don't think that he would go back there and try and be the repairman as such next season. He'd be wanting to be at a club where, if not Melbourne Storm, he'd be wanting to be somewhere where he can make an impact that's already a solid club. You know, the likes of perhaps your Canberras, your Roosters. One of the clubs like that, or even one of the clubs on the outer edge, such as the Knights in this case, and maybe even the Sharks. So it'll be interesting to see what he does, and we'll keep you updated on that one as well. But it's a long journey ahead for Brisbane. What do they need to do from here? Well, we'll just have to wait and see, because it's, for once, we are not talking about them, and I think we'll just keep you updated on their progress and let them just have a bit of a breather from the media this week. So that takes us into Super Saturday, obviously, where we had the Warriors up against the Roosters. And a very, very proud performance, you'd have to say, as a Warriors supporter. Going down, unfortunately, 18 points to 10. It was close, but no cigar for the Warriors. And you always just got the feeling that that was going to be the case, even though it was a tight tussle. The tries that they did let in, I felt that, you know, one or two of them were a little bit soft. And really, they should have won this one, Brad.
They should have. I think they definitely showed some, they were physical. Like I said last week, to rattle the Roosters, you have to be physical. So they definitely took that on board, and they, everyone's been talking about it all week, but Jack Hetherington and Hargraves' little battle all throughout was entertaining, and it was good to see the Warriors step up. But yeah, it was definitely a game they should have kept hold of the lead and stayed. I think the biggest difference between the two was Luke Keary. If Luke Keary wasn't playing, I think the Warriors would have won. Luke Keary he brought a short kicking game. If he was kicking to himself or kicking to other people, and he just kept the Warriors camped in their own half for that second half, and it was hard to get out of there for the Warriors. So I think that's the biggest thing the Warriors are missing.
I think that you nailed it on the head, mate. I mean, the biggest thing the Warriors are missing is that standout performance, isn't it? Like week in, week out, they're not getting, okay, Rogers averaging 190 meters a game, but he can't do everything on his own. And from the fullback position, maybe he's got to look at sort of, you know, injecting himself in the middle of the park in that ruck area. Maybe he needs to take a step towards 5'8". And maybe we slot someone else at the back there. I know that's a big call, particularly with our two wingers coming home now, and our depth in the back five is very shallow, and we're likely to take a hammering there in the next few weeks. But we just don't have that performance, that solid performance from an individual that most of these teams have on their way to a victory week in, week out. And you know, we're playing some good rugby league in patches, but ultimately we're not being able to bring to the table a performance such as that of a Cameron Smith, such as that of a Pappenhausen, you know, Moses as well. Like, you know, these kind of guys, Cleary, Keary against us on the weekend, they're really stepping up. And even Johnson is playing some good games for the Sharks as of late. So, yeah, I guess we just have to hang in there as Warriors supporters. It's going to be a tough, long season for us, and it's probably not going to be a successful one. But it was good to see us, you know, be in the hunt and not get flogged. I guess if, the other thing that could have happened, we could have been talking here. I think last week you were suggesting that perhaps there was 100 points in this Roosters side. Correct me if I'm wrong, Brad. Yeah, so I'm glad to see that, and also a little bit of respect for Todd Payton this week. I don't know if you heard an interview from Jazz Tabunga. He certainly is wanting Toddy to get the role as head coach. And, of course, this week in news that we didn't cover off earlier is that Tuvi and the Walker brothers have been dismissed as potentials for the Warriors coaching gig. So they're going to announce it within the next little while, I'm sure. And I reckon Payton, he's got a good chance.
I think so. He's growing on me. I think I saw a viewer question about it, so I'll leave my thoughts on it to a bit later. But yeah, he's growing on me.
No worries. Well, look, that takes us into our second game on Saturday, which was the Sharks versus the Dragons. And one of the games of the weekend for mine, a fantastic game in terms of, you know, lots of tries to be scored, a close local derby, and the eventual winners, the Sharks, coming out on top, 28 points to 24. Yes, there was a bunker blunder again, Brad, and would it have had an impact on the final result? What are you saying?
I don't think so. I know with how close it was, you could say, but it was 9 minutes into the game, so no team has won a game 9 minutes in. So there was still plenty of time for the Dragons there. It was unfortunate. It's a try that the Sharks shouldn't have been given. But we've said that. I feel like we say that every week about one game. So, it's unfortunate. If it was in the 79th minute, I think it's a completely different story. Johnson is playing the year of his life, I think. And I think the thing that impressed me most about him was he stepped up. Chad Townsend went down injured. And at times like that, sometimes when all the pressure, I think when he was back with the Warriors, when they made the playoffs and Roger got injured against the Panthers, Roger was off and then Sean disappeared. And that was kind of what Warriors fans were used to. When the pressure was on, he would disappear. But he's not shying away anymore, which is good for the Sharks. It's good to see that he's stepping up, and it could be a bit of more maturity. I'm not sure. He's taking a lot more accountability for how he acts and how he behaves on the field. So,
he's not a young guy anymore. He's been around the competition since what, 2011, when he took us to a premiership final. I don't think that, he hasn't got, I don't think he's got too many, he still played for a little while, but as a fast running halfback, he might have another five good seasons left in him, maybe more, I don't know. But ultimately, he's in the second half, you'd have to say, of his career now. And to be fair, up until this point, whilst he has flourished and he has shown signs of being, like we said earlier on in the season, a very good player, I still think that he's got a bit of work to do to become a great player. And he's got that opportunity in front of him. I think that he can become a great player, and if he is going to be a great player, then he needs to obviously perform in those pressure cooker situations where he is under pressure. And like you said, Chad Townsend went off injured, and he came to the party. So, yeah, let's see. He's certainly good couple of try assists there, and his kicking game as well is actually what has impressed me the most, is that he's actually managed to thread the needle onto the ball and get it through the back line, but not kicking too deep, which he was very guilty of at the Warriors, consistently kicking the ball dead. So he seems to have it on a string at the moment. And, good victory for the Cronulla Sharks. But, yeah, disappointing for the Dragons, who, they're pretty close, and they scored a cracker of a try themselves, including set up by Matt Hunt.
Yeah, Zat Lomax's try. I think it's hard to believe the Dragons a few weeks ago, or say like 2 weeks into the restart, where they were talking about they need to get rid of the coach, the team's a dumpster fire, and now you can't underestimate them. And Matt Duffy and Zach Lomax, I think, are the keys in the back line for them. They're always constant threats when they've got the ball in hand. And I think they're going to have a few upsets on their hands as the season progresses.
Yeah, I think so. I think this Dragons side is not all that bad. I don't know if they're going to, thread in the eight or, make any loud noises in terms of the last next few rounds. But in saying that, they're a team that could do some good leading into the last nine rounds of the season. They certainly do have, some firepower now, and they do certainly have some structure, which they didn't have early on. I think McGregor will hold his position, And I think if they can just, you know, sort of get up to a respectable level and then, you know, start rebuilding for next season, that'll put them in good stead. Maybe a few good signings here and there. But yeah, I think they've got a formula working for them and they're scoring points. They're just leaking a few too many at the same time, unfortunately. So, hey, look, a fantastic game, probably one of the games of the round. Like I said, Cronulla moving to the top eight, six now out of the eight last games they've won. So attack not being a problem for the Cronulla Sharks, but again, defense is an issue for them. You know, letting 26 points in from this Dragon side, probably a few too many for what the Cronulla Sharks wanted.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think they need to work on that defense.
Work out leading as a Saturday's final fixture, which is the Raiders up against the Rabbitohs. And a really solid performance here from the Raiders, going up victors 18 points to 12. And another match where Canberra have suffered yet more injury woes, but they were certainly standing tall at the end of this one, Brad.
Yeah, so it's going from bad to worse for the Raiders casualty ward, but they've got that grit where it doesn't matter what adversities they're hitting, they're still grinding out and putting in good performances. Chan's Nicole Clock stats injury was horrible to watch. It was just a freak accident. He got a compound dislocation of his finger. So his finger basically went another direction and there was a bit of bone apparently that popped out. So I think they said he's going to be a little bit away, but it's not a season ender for him, which is good.
It's 1 to 4 weeks at this stage. I think it's going to be the latter part of that. So we're more likely to see him out of the game for 3 to 4 weeks, apparently. So, yeah, no, it's a bit of a disappointing disappointment for him. He was having a pretty good season, and again for the Raiders themselves. But yeah, they just showed, you know, character building, the character that's been building over there at the Raiders at the helm. Through the work of Ricky Stewart, a courageous and proud win for the club, going back-to-back after their very, very good win last week against the Roosters. So that has come from Ricky's manufactured a player bond there. And, you know, a couple of seasons ago, you may have seen them, you know, lose a game such as that one against the Rabbitohs. But they are really, you know, they're really in it to try and rustle a few feathers. And they're starting to come back in their 2020 season. And, hey, you know, they're going to be thereabouts again. But, yeah, definitely big raps on Ricky. And he's certainly been the talking point around the Raiders' success of late.
Definitely. He's really got that team built exactly how he wants it. And, yeah, they're a tougher team than they were a few years back. And on the other side of it, the Rabbitohs still play good football, but their biggest issue is they don't know how to hold on to the ball. They're constantly dropping it, and there's probably a handful of games that they would have walked away winners if they just had a bit more respect for the ball. So I don't know if that's a confidence thing or if they're rushing. I'm not sure what the problem is. They've got a hell of a coach that can help them. So it'll be interesting to see. I think with Latrell Mitchell back this week, I think they're going to be a lot better outfit. It's a bit of a case of what was.
I think that, yeah, I think Wayne Bennett wouldn't have been too disappointed with the performance against the Raiders on the weekend. I don't think that it's a performance that you should be too disappointed in. They played pretty good rugby league. They only lost by six. Latrell wasn't there. But, yeah, they seem to just, when they're ready to take a game away from someone, or when they're ready to get into a position to sort of make the next play, they sort of freeze and they haven't been able to get that finishing as part of their structure just yet. I think that you know, the plays, if you see them when they're in the opposition half, they're not as confident as they are almost when they're running up the middle of the park from their own 30. So they sort of get to a position and it's like, you know, Adam Reynolds, who was at the club for a long time, I think that, you know, they're sort of, I don't know, they're missing that kind of fast, injective pace up the middle. And I think, you know, once, you know, Latrell comes back, hopefully he can, you know, hopefully he can bolster that return of the footy and see the Rabbitohs, you know, get back on the winning streak, because the few losses for them now and seeing them sort of slip down the ladder a little bit now.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But, yeah, I'm sure they're a lot better outfit with Mitchell there. But that takes us to our first game on Sunday, which was the upset of the round, and the Bulldogs beating the Knights 18 to 12. But unfortunate for the Knights, they lost Andrew McCulloch and Connor Watson for the season. So that's three hookers they've now lost for the season. Devastating for the rest of their, how their season's going to progress. But the Bulldogs, I think the Bulldogs had a great game. I thought it was fantastic how they performed. What were your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, I think Adam O'Brien, he was just absolutely embarrassed with the Knights' performance. You know, lost the last two games based on attitude, basically, is what he's saying, is that they basically turned up expecting to win both the games and they've lost both of them. Too much swagger at the club. The season is slipping away somewhat from them, and they got to find out where their attitude sits in a hurry because, you know, a top eight side, I think, yes, at the moment, but that's as far as I see them. You know, obviously with Adam coming out of the Melbourne system, you know, he demands excellence. And, you know, at the moment, they're having days off. Michael Ennis, you know, on the big wrap late on Sunday, it was basically like good sides don't have days off. And, you know, that's a testament to what comes out of Melbourne. So, hey, look, you know, like you said, he's got a few injury concerns as well now. Also, I think Mitchell Pearce isn't really setting the world on fire at the moment. And whether he's going to be in contention for a New South Wales jersey, you know, it's debatable as well. With the other talent running around the NRL at the moment, I dare I say he'll probably miss out. But yeah, it's you wouldn't have want to lose. You wouldn't have want to lose to the Bulldogs. But I guess if you're a Bulldogs supporter, Dean Pay being sacked, and Georgalis has just come out with the side, and he's actually said a few interesting things throughout the week, was that he just wanted his team to go out there and play football, and they did that, and they came away with a victory. Although, albeit in a sloppy kind of, you know, wet encounter that it was, they still came away with the 2 points in their second win of the season. There were reports that when they went into the dressing room, there was no word said. They just started singing the victory song that they sing. So, you know, good stuff for the Bulldogs. Pretty happy for them to see getting the second win of the season and perhaps getting their team, club, back on track to hopefully be competitive in the next couple of years, really.
Yeah, definitely. I think Trent Barrett coming in, I think a lot of players are trying to step up and say, I'm a good player, keep me, please. So I think we're going to see, they're, throughout the year, they've been in the games, they just haven't been able to complete the game. So it was good to see them because the Knights started to come back. I was watching and it was like, oh, the Knights are still going to win this. And they just ran out of time. But it was good to see them hold on.
Yeah, I think if there was a few more, five more minutes left, then yeah, you may have seen the Knights come back and pinch that one because it was getting to that point near the end there. But hey, look, yeah, like you say, the players are out to impress Barrett, aren't they? And Foran is one player that had a really good game. He's obviously nearing the end of his career as well, you'd have to say. But he doesn't want to be sort of left in the dark. So I think he's got a big point to prove over the next little while to try and keep him in a key position at the Bulldogs next season. But yeah, we'll move on to the Titans and Panthers encounter, which, you know, I guess you'd probably be surprised at the scoreline on this one. Titans going down, yes, 22-14. And because of, you know, a depleted Panthers outfit as well with all the injuries that they've got, but they still come away with the win and still come away with a solid, confident performance from their young leader, Nathan Cleary.
Yeah, I think the Titans are still continuing to impress, but the Panthers are another level. It's, as we've been saying all year, there's like four teams and then the rest. And, you take a guy like Coruscant and Kakao, you take two players like that out of any other team, you'd be worried about it. But I don't think many people were worried about the Panthers here. They just got too much class.
Yeah, and, I mean, no Coruscant, Kakao, Fade and Edwards. Sorry, just interrupt you, but there's actually four players there, Brad, that, you know. Of course, yeah.
James Tamo and James Fisher-Harris had a field day up the middle, and that just allowed Cleary to be Cleary, and he's arguably got to be one of the best halves running around right now. So it's all coming up sunny for Penrith right now.
Yeah, look, I mean, it was a victory for Penrith, and it was a victory with a depleted side, like we've just said. But I think it was not a bad performance from the Titans. Okay, they scored two late tries just before halftime, and they didn't look in it at their 39% possession, I think, at the end of the first half. People were like, well, they're lucky they have got two tries on the board and still be in this. And, you know, to not let it blow out at 22 points to 14, obviously I think they had word that by this stage when they were playing the game, they had known that Andrew Fifita had signed for them. So they were obviously, you know, pretty pumped up about that, I'd imagine. The club, from a perspective in terms of personnel that they've got there, you know, Gordon Tallis had a big part in getting Fifita to the club. I don't know if you're aware of that. And they've also got Mel Meninga. And, of course, I don't know if you know about this gentleman, Dennis Watt. He's a former Bronco board member of 14 years. He's now at the Gold Coast Titans. And so they've got a good array of personnel at the club, right? Not just the players. I think it's important for our listeners to understand that, you know, it doesn't just take the players on the field to manufacture a premiership winning rugby league side. It's also got to come down to the coaching staff and, of course, you know, the board members and the rest of it. So, you know, Mal Meninga, Gordon Tallis, obviously passionate, proud Queenslanders, as you would know, Brad, and they're part of that setup. They've got Fifita. I'm really looking for big things out of this Titans outfit in the next 3 years. They will be setting themselves to try and win this premiership in 2021-22. Well, maybe not 21, but 2022-23. They'll be looking like, hey, look, we're going to try and rattle some you know, of the top teams. And to be honest, this could be a very, very, in fact, this could be a place where Cameron Smith would fit in very nicely. Just a short trip down the highway from Brisbane, and, you know, going up north and trying to win a premiership with the Gold Coast. Look, that sounds like a real option. I'd be licking my lips if I was the Gold Coast and trying to get Cameron up there. Of course, they're probably a little bit short on the checkbook at the moment after forking up for Fifita, and Cameron's not going to come at a cheap price. But hey, look, really looking forward to what goes on for the Titans in the next couple of seasons.
Definitely. I think Cameron might be a bit out of their reach, but I don't want them to think about it because I want him to come to the Warriors. But if I was the Titans, I'd be looking at Brandon Smith. I think
You want Brandon Smith to come to the Warriors?
I'd get him today if I could.
Yeah, definitely.
With how Harry Grant is going with the Tigers and going back to the Storm next year, you've got three top-rate hookers vying for one spot. The way they're talking, Harry Grant's like up there with the Dally M's right now. So if you had to pick between the two, the Storm will be going with Harry Grant. So Brandon Smith will be on the outer a bit, may ask for a release.
Grant's at the Tigers right now, isn't he? Yes.
He is, but only until the end of the year.
Only until the end of the year, yes. So
yes. So yeah, no, he'll be back at the Storm. So Brandon could be an option. He would fit the Titans mold for what they need, but I think the Warriors need him more. So hopefully we can try to scalp him.
Yeah, look, you know, in terms of the Panthers, another quality performance, really. They're going well as a club. All aspects of the club are going well. And this week, again, big raps on Ivan Cleary for him to be able to, you know, I guess keep them on track and focused throughout these injury weeks. You're always going to have weeks like this, I guess, as a coach. And I guess from Ivan's perspective, he'd be happy to have these weeks now rather than, I guess, a few weeks before the playoffs or even during the playoffs. So it was an interesting point raised as well on the television over the weekend was that Coruscant and Kikau, whilst they're out injured, it's really going to give them a really good rest. And a well-deserved rest in the middle of the regular season. And they will come back, you know, firing bullets, I reckon. So I think the Panthers, they've got another level to go to when they come back. And I'd be very, very concerned for all teams playing the Panthers at the moment. They are the number one team in the competition, and rightly so. So, look, we'll jump into our picks of the week. And after round 11, unfortunately, I've been beaten again. Bradley taking it out 7 games out of 8 compared to my 6 out of 8, which unfortunately sees me slip down to 43 out of 64. And Brad now 4 games adrift at 47 out of 64. Obviously just got the ladder there for you. And as you can see, we've got the Panthers in that top spot, followed by the Storm, Eels and the Roosters. They make up the top four. I think that there's no doubt that they are the top four teams in the competition. I would probably hold the Raiders there at a solid 5, and then you'd have to really say 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 would you know, they're sort of got their own sort of group going. I mean, if you saw the Dragons up against the Knights at the moment, who would you say would win? I mean, you know, you'd probably be odds-on favourites as a Knights supporter, but, hey, if you're a Dragons supporter, you'd probably be like, well, look, they've only won two more games than us at six games, you know. So that middle part of the competition, as it always is, very tight in there, Brad.
Yeah, definitely. I think, as you said, 11 to 5, I think, could be changing week to week. 12 and down will move themselves, but I don't see any of them going up. So
I don't see that. I think, yeah, you're right. The likes of the Cowboys, Warriors, Titans, Broncos, and Bulldogs, well, they're just all playing for the wooden spoon, really. And I'm trying to avoid it, I guess. But yeah, yep. I mean, I really look, the Dragons, they're still an outside chance. Okay, they've lost seven, they've only won four. They'd have to have a miraculous last nine rounds of the season. But when you look at it on paper, if, you know, to only be 4 points outside the eight, you know, that's just not, you know, they're not a realistic chance, but they will be believing.
Yeah, definitely. So that will take us into our viewer questions. Paul, have you got some questions for us?
Yes, we have a couple of questions from the live chat. So thank you, everyone who does join us on the live chat. Don't forget, you can join us at 8 p.m. every Wednesday for the standoff. So Simon asks us, what do you guys think of the idea of Phil Gould being a consultant on refereeing for the NRL Commission?
Fantastic.
Right? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he's been very critical of referees for as long as I can remember. So if there's anyone that can go in there and say, this is what you guys are doing wrong, and actually have them listen, I think it's him. I think the only issue that's been going around about it is working for the NRL and working for the media at the same time. And if it's a conflict of interest, I don't think it is with him because of how straightforward he is. I don't always agree with what he says, but he says what he thinks. So we just have to play it by ear. But yeah, I think any help they can get in refereeing they need. So.
Oh, Phil Gould, he's, you know, he was a stellar player in his day, a fantastic coach, and a generally knowledgeable gentleman when it comes to all aspects rugby league. And I think he talks a lot of sense. I know a lot of people think that he doesn't talk rubbish, but I know that a lot of people don't agree with some of the comments. I generally agree with most of what comes out of his mouth. He's got a very intellectually, you know, smart rugby league brain. And I think that he would be a welcome addition in the bunker because those guys are just not getting the job done at the moment.
Cool. And Jordan asks, how do you guys rate Todd Payne for the Warriors head coach? And also, would you have liked to see any of the coaches that have been overlooked already be given a go as Warriors head coach? Because a couple of guys haven't even been given interviews, have they?
Yeah. So do you want to take this one first?
No, you go for it, mate.
All right. So in my article I wrote this week, I said I really like Peyton at the moment. I think he's been transparent with the media. He's been transparent with the fans, and he's been transparent with the players. And I've seen some people have been critical of how he said, like he's called out Adam Blair and the like, and they've been critical of him, but then they've commended Maguire at the Tigers for dropping Benji and being critical of him. So it's the same thing, but because it's a different player, they don't like the outcome. It's those type of decisions that head coaches need to make their team better. So if you've got a senior player, if you're paying them $1 million a year and they don't play well, you don't just keep them there because they're $1 million a year. You drop them. It sets a precedent in the whole side that excellence is all you want, which is what every team strives for. And I think the players are responding. Jas Tavanga came out, as we talked about earlier, and said he really enjoys playing for him. And if the players are buying in on him, and I don't see why you shouldn't give him a shot and give him the full gig next year. In terms of the other coaches, I might get a bit of flack for it, but I don't rate Tuvi. So I don't mind that he didn't get an interview. The Walker brothers, I think, would have been interesting. But at the moment, if I had to pick between the Walker brothers and Payton, I'd be going with Payton from what I've seen.
Yeah, I think Jordan may have just put a bit of a spelling error on there, Todd Payton, as opposed to Todd Payne. But no, look, I think he's got to win the players and the public over, and he's slowly, like, you know, he's slowly doing that. Even like you say, he's growing on yourself there, Bradley. And you know, even for me, I've seen some really positive things to come out of his mouth. Like, you know, I think he was on the radio earlier today when I was driving around, and I overheard him say, well, look, at the end of the day, I'm going to be judged on the result. So, you know, we're playing some good football. We had a great close game against the Roosters. He said, it means nothing. We needed to win that game, and unfortunately we did. And he's like, that's going to get me a permanent coaching gig, is winning those kind of games. And he's like, at the moment, it's tough with the situation that we're currently in and with the players, you know, coming home, and, you know, with us being camped over here due to COVID, et cetera. So he's taken a real big realization that he's got a genuine opportunity. And like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, if he can, you know, come away with, you know, we've got 9 rounds left. If he can come away with 5 wins or something like that, just to show this, that he is capable of doing the job, then, the more and more I think about it, the more and more likely he's going to get the nod. I haven't heard anyone else's name come out of the woodworks over the last couple of weeks. There doesn't seem to be too many other contenders. The Walker brothers are gone, Tubby's out. So who else have they got? I don't think they've got too many other candidates at the moment. And if they do, they're holding them close to the chest. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. That's it, guys, from the live chat. So thank you, everyone who's joined us in the live chat. But Brad, do quickly let people know where you are writing so they can go read those articles.
Yeah, sure. So I write on Brad's Ramblings is the name of my site. You can search on Facebook just by searching Brad's Ramblings, and it's got a link to my site there.
Cool.
Excellent. We'll jump back into the round 11 picks. Obviously, like I said before, Brad taking this week out at 7 games out of 8, falling behind there by a game, just getting the 6 out of 8, and 43 out of 64 for myself versus Brad's 47. So 4 games adrift now, and we are now 9 rounds away from the finals series. So that takes us into the round 12 preview. And if we look at round 12, basically on Thursday night, we've got the Dragons versus the Rabbitohs. Brad, how do you see it?
I've got the Rabbitohs. I think Rabbitohs, back with Mitchell, will get the job. It'll be tight, but yeah, got to go with Rabbits.
Yeah, I think so as well. The Rabbitohs for mine on that one there. We've got the Tigers versus the Warriors on Friday night. At the moment, I've got the Tigers taking that one out. You know, Mamalo coming back for Satua, a little bit more of a depleted side now. We've got a couple of lone players, I understand, coming through. But yeah, I think the Tigers will be too strong for us.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, so I'm
going to. It could be an interesting one. And saying that it could be an interesting one, there's a chance for us to win this one if we play like we did last week. But at this stage, I would say, if the Tigers played how they did against the Eels, they'll probably beat us. So, yeah, Broncos versus the Sharks on the Friday night. Surprising to see the Broncos paying $2.35 for a victory. That is fairly good odds, I would have thought. I would have thought it would have been a lot. Poor odds on the Broncos team. I thought it would have been a lot higher considering their current situation.
Yeah, I don't. Basically, what I said last week, unless the Sharks forget how to get to Suncorp, I don't see the Broncos winning. So,
easy Sharks win. Yeah, I have to tend to agree on that one. I've got the Roosters versus Titans. I think the Roosters will be too strong for them. However, another game to be wary of on the weekend. This is one game that I'm really looking forward to watching, actually. I don't think it will be a blowout. The Roosters, obviously, you know, they're buoyed by the fact that they're potentially going to get Sunnyvale and you know, they're playing some really good football over there in Sydney. But the Titans, obviously, with the news that Fifita's coming and just the positivity around the club at the moment. Look, to go down to Sydney Cricket Ground and win a game there, wouldn't that be a hell of a story for the club? And, you know, that's what they'll be talking about this week, though, as well. They'll be like, hey, we've got Fifita coming. Let's start the process now. Let's go down to Sydney and have a good game. So I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I still see the Roosters coming away victors, though.
Yeah, I think it will be a lot closer than I would have predicted a few weeks ago. But yeah, I'm still going with Roosters.
We've got a Raiders versus Cowboys following that game on the Saturday evening. No brainer here, even though it's at Queensland Country Bank Stadium. I don't see the Raiders getting defeated, particularly the way they've been playing as of late. I think the Cowboys will be on the receiving end on this one at $1.35 to $3.25.
So I'm going with them as well. I think it's too cool. Easy.
Yep. Saturday's last game sees the Sea Eagles versus the Panthers at Lotto Land. The way that the Panthers are playing, I don't think that, you know, the Sea Eagles would get past them. But yeah, it's definitely something more probable than the Titans getting up against the Roosters. So hence the reason that they're only paying $2.45. But yeah, the Panthers, I think they'll be just too strong. They'll carve them up the middle. And even though they've got Fanua Blake and Tapau, I just think that the Panthers outside backs will just run rings around the Manly side.
Definitely. Yeah, I think Panthers are just too strong at the moment. So yeah, another win for the Panthers.
And what does that give us for Sunday, Brad? We've got
the Bulldogs against the Eels at ANZ Stadium. I think that's going to be an easy Eels win, unfortunately, for Bulldogs fans. But yeah, Eels for me.
Yeah, I think Eels for me as well. I don't know if it'll be an easy one. This is a local derby. This is a genuine, you know, Parramatta versus Canterbury Bankstown. That's a game that everyone likes to see. And, you know, after the fact that the Bulldogs won last week against the Knights, that they've signed Trent Barrett, Georgialis has turned the thinking of the players a little bit around. It should be a good game. I mean, I think the Eels will win it. I think they'll win, you know, fairly comfortably, but I think there's some points in this Bulldogs team in that fixture. So another interesting game to watch. That leads us to our final game of the weekend, which sees the Storm take on the Knights. And at the moment, the Storm easy winners on this one. I see them taking it quite easily at against the Knights.
Yeah, same for me. So I've got the Storm too.
Great. So obviously, we didn't cover off one game there, I think, which was the Dragons and the – oh, yes, we did there. Sorry, we covered off that game. So, so that basically we have the same set of picks going into the weekend, Brad. So we're not going to see any surprises in terms of – and we get 8 out of 8, though. We haven't been successful so far this season, so maybe we can come away with 8 out of 8. There'll be a surprise there, which there always is in rugby league, and – should be interesting to see, but we'll crack on and head into overseas news and news in the international game as well. You've got some updates on the Super League, Brad.
Yeah, so we talked a few weeks ago that originally there was going to be a triple header to start the game, start the season off again. That's been changed due to the Wolfpack, so now it's just a double header. The first game back will be St Helens versus Caledon Dragons, followed up by Huddersfield Giants versus the Rhinos. So August 2nd.
Oh, it should be interesting to see. I'm looking forward to the Super League getting underway, and we'll bring you all the results as we have them. We won't be diving too much into match analysis, folks, with the Super League there, but we'll definitely keep you updated in terms of placements on the table and, you know, any big major news coming out of there. Obviously, we've had the World Cup fixtures announced last week. We didn't have an opportunity to get into it, and we'll just quickly cover off a few things that are happening, Brad. There have been 4 pools assigned for the men's game. Obviously, there's a women's competition and a wheelchair competition running in conjunction with this World Cup, which is great to see.
Yeah, so it's the first time they've ever had all three together in one event, which is great. And I'll cover off the first 2 pools, if you like. So for the men's, we've got Pool A, we've got England, Samoa, France, and Greece, yeah. And then Pool B, we've got Australia, Fiji, Scotland, and Italy.
And Pool C, we've got New Zealand, Lebanon, Jamaica, and Ireland. And that with Pool D, Tonga, Papua New Guinea, Wales, and the Cook Islands. Now, as opposed to Rugby League World Cups of yesteryear or the last 3 or 4 that we've had, you would have generally noted, seen that we've generally had 2 pools of 4 and then a pool of 3 with only one from that third side, from that third pool going through. This is pretty much straightforward. 4 teams in each pool, 2 top teams from each pool go into a quarterfinals situation. And then from there, we have the semifinals and the World Cup finals. So I'm really excited at this format. It just expands out the game a little bit more. Some will argue that some of those quarterfinals will be blowouts, but I think it does give, you know, those bottom tier nations more of a chance to make an impact. After all, we did see, unfortunately, and probably, unlikely to see again, Fiji beat the Kiwis in the last World Cup under David Kidwell, an absolutely terrible result from our perspective. But for the growth of the game, I think from that perspective, it's good to see this format, Brad.
Yeah, definitely. I think it involves a bit more teams and gives some of those other teams a bit more of a chance to make it in. You could kind of pencil on who you think those teams are going to be, but like, yeah, as you said, there's always room for an upset. So be interesting to see. And the whole event kicks off with England, the England men team playing Samoa, which I think will be a great kickoff match.
Fantastic. And folks, we've got no news on the women's game at the moment, so we'll keep you updated on that in the coming weeks. But thank you again for joining us here tonight on New Zealand Sport Radio for Episode 9, Season 1 of The Standoff, your rugby league fix for the week. Thank you very much, Brad, for your comments this evening. And please do tune into our podcast, Brad. And how can our viewers do that?
So, yeah, for your weekly update on rugby league, tune into the podcast on iHeartRadio or Facebook. Just search for New Zealand Sport Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks a lot.
Good evening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.